Today on Coding 101, we're posting things on the internet with Post.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Coding 101 is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,400 high-quality online courses, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit Lynda.com/C101. That's LYNDA.com/C101.
Welcome to Coding 101. It's the show where the cursor takes a really long time to click. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I am Shannon Morris. And for the next 30 minutes, we are going to get you all coded up and everything you need to know to be a code master in the world of Perl.
Pearly.
Pretty Perl.
Oh, we've had a couple of interesting episodes.
Yes. I mean,
the first 5 episodes of Perl, I know they were a slog. There was a lot of regular expressions.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
It was fun.
I had fun.
But then what made it really fun was when we put it on the interwebs.
Yes, we started having a lot of fun times with servers. We were able to actually put our code into work with HTML scripts so that your clients would be able to see nice, pretty forms and things of that nature on their websites.
Which is, you know, really what Perl is made for. It's a web scripting language. It was designed for the internet. It was designed so that you could do server-side or client-side scripting for pretty much any need. And Patrick Delahanty, who has been our code warrior the last few weeks, has really shown us how to use things like regular expressions to
Yay!
Dynamically generate websites.
We're going to be taking it a step further today, but first, I think it's time for a little bit of review. Are you ready, sir? Let's do it, please. Okay, let's bring it over to my computer. I have a form up here. It's on a website. So it's very, very simple, and it says Doctor Who Companions. And it asks a user for their favorite companion in the form of a form. Ha, huh, lols. So
form,
do you have a favorite companion?
Yes, Rose.
What is his or her name? So yours is Rose?
It's got to be Rose.
Okay, so let's put in Rose Tyler. And then hit submit. Excuse me. And it says, your answer says, companion is yes, name is Rose plus Tyler, so it recognized that. And then it says, you said yes, her name is Rose Tyler. Nah, I prefer Amy.
Boom. Oh.
So now I can put it in again. I can say, yes, I do have a favorite companion, and it's Amy. Hit submit. And then at the end, it'll say, Amy is rocking it. Woo! Very cool. Very easy.
And again, this is a really good use of get, because all it's doing is it's appending your answer to the URL, and then the script is stripping that off and putting it back into the dynamically generated web page.
Exactly. Now I'll show you my code real quick. Let's go ahead and open this up. Okay, so first off, we have some HTML. Just tells you the title of the website. And then it asks you for Doctor Who companions. I gave it a nice little header up here. And the first paragraph, here are your results. And it'll tell you your answer is the query. So down here, we get into our Perl code. So it says, if your answer is a certain name.
Right, right.
And then it splits it up. And then down here we have the companion. So the companion is the actual, where is it? The name of the person, the name of the companion.
Mm-hmm.
Down at the bottom, it looks for, under name, the name of the companion, it looks for Amy. If you put in Amy, it says Amy is rocking it. If you do not put in Amy, or Amelia, for that matter, since she goes by both, then it'll say, nah, I prefer Amy. And then you can submit it again, and it'll just bring you right back to the HTML form.
Right. What we like about this is that it's showing you a lot of the concepts that we've been playing with the last 2 episodes, with Post, with Get, but also, again, with dynamically generated pages using Perl
right.
script. What this is doing is it's taking the URL that's created, and you can see it at the top of your screen. In fact, Brian, if you zoom in there, you can see that it has appended her answer to this. That first part of his code was about taking that, which was pushed to the Perl script, and then turning it into something that you can actually use. It takes that header, strips it off, puts it into a string that can actually be used within if-then statements, and that runs the rest of the program.
Who else do we have? Rose.
And you're cheating now, see?
Yeah, I'm totally cheating.
She's showing you. This is actually very important. This is important about a get from from a form, which is if you change the URL, you're actually changing what the input was.
That's right.
It's a really easy way to play around.
Very fun.
Yeah, it's also a good way to mess around with people by injecting code. But.
That's very, very true. Now, we also had a user example in our Google Plus community. As usual, if you guys want to join our Google Plus community, just go over to Google Plus and search for TwitCoding101. Definitely join because people do share their code over there, and they're very, very open to answering any questions that you guys might have. So we got a user example from Joe again. Thank you, Joe. You are really, really good with all these Perl examples. They are awesome. So his Perl example basically is a web calculator. So he sent us his script right here, and you can download it straight from his post in our Google Plus community. Basically, it just calculates a couple of numbers in the form of a form on a website. And if I pull up his calculator right here, so I'll put in, let's put in number 4, and then we can choose times.
Nice.
So he has a bunch of different options down here, just very simple math. And then I'll put in another 4, hit calculate, and it answers 16. Now, what happens if I put in foobar? Calculate. Your first value does not
so
look
he's
like a number.
So he's done what he was supposed to do, and he sanitized his input.
But
again, look at the URL. So the URL, it shows you exactly what the input was, and you could change it there.
Six.
You gotta get rid of, there you go.
So now it says 24.
There you go.
Yeah, it totally works. It's a very, very good example of something that you can do by using Perl on a web server. Yeah.
And once you know how to do this, this is what I like about it. Once you understand how that URL is formed.
Yes.
I'm not saying to do this maliciously, but you can really start hammering at the back-end server and see, are they sanitizing this? Or because, unfortunately, what a lot of really poorly created software will do is it will check it on the front end.
Yes.
It will just check it, but once the URL is made, it doesn't matter. It'll let that go back to the back-end server. And so if that's where they're doing their checking, you could...
You gotta make sure your stuff's working correctly. You gotta think like a hacker when it comes to putting things on a website.
You know a little bit about that.
Oh, a few things. Going to DEF CON. I hope I know a few things.
Turn off your phone.
Moving on.
Yes.
I know a site where you can learn even more about programming than just what we can teach you here. A lot more.
Well, thank goodness, because that's what we want, right? I mean,
when we created
the show, we're like, look, we're never gonna be able to show these people everything they need to know. We can give them the highlights, but then they need some place to fill the gaps in the knowledge hole.
That's right. And we're happy to say that our sponsor of this week's episode is lynda.com, and that is the place that you guys can go to get tutorials, thousands and thousands of video tutorials that are made professionally by people across the interwebs to check out things as far as programming. You can do photography, video, gaming, creating video games, all sorts of things. So, lynda.com, they help you learn and keep up to date with your software. You can pick up brand new skills. You can explore new hobbies with their easy-to-follow video tutorials. So whether you want to master the fundamentals of programming, you can learn a new programming language like Python, or you can design and develop engaging websites. lynda.com offers thousands of courses in a variety of topics. lynda.com released a new iPhone and an iPad app for iOS 7 and enhanced their Android app to provide Chromecast support. Yay, Chromecast! The iOS app includes a more visual, intuitive interface, and both new apps offer offline course and video viewing, which makes it really easy and convenient to learn even in environments without internet access. So say you're on BART and you want to learn more. Just get on BART, fire up the app, there you go. You can watch as much as you want without the internets. lynda.com users can move seamlessly between mobile and desktop applications. And new courses include C Essential Training, Simple Android Development Tools, Photoshop CC for photographers, Intermediate, and even more. One of my personal favorites is doing things like what Brian's showing, learning a little bit more about programming. This really, really helps, even right here with Coding 101. It's super, super helpful to go over to Lynda and learn a little bit more about Python than what we can share with you in our little 30-minute show. Now, they have over 2,400 courses. Over 2,400, that's a lot. So you're going to be busy all the time watching these shows. More added every single week. At lynda.com, courses are produced at the highest quality. They're not homemade videos on YouTube, not uploaded by, you know, anybody. These are professionals. lynda.com works with software companies to provide you updated training the same day that new versions hit the market, so you'll always have the very latest skills. And instructors are accomplished professionals, like I said, at the top of their fields. They're passionate about teaching, so you can get experience levels from beginner, intermediate, to advanced for all sorts of different professions. You can watch on your computer, your tablet, your mobile device. Whether you got 15 minutes or 15 hours, you can watch each course. And it's structured so that you can learn from start to finish. And you can also search the transcripts to find quick answers and read along with the video. They also offer certificates of completion when you finish a course, so you can publish on your LinkedIn profile exactly which courses you have completed. Very, very nice for finding a job in that specific hobby that you absolutely love, which is great if you're a professional in the field as well. Now, it's only $25 a month for access to the entire lynda.com course library, or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructor's project. Using the exact same project assets that they do. And you can try out lynda.com right now with a free 7-day trial. Visit lynda.com/C101 to access the entire library. That's over 2,400 courses, so many, free for 7 days. That's lynda.com/C101. And of course, we thank Lynda for their support of Coding 101.
Thank you, Lynda.
Yay! Let's move on.
Let's have some fun. Let's do a little bit of Ivory Tower stuff.
I'm ready.
Okay. So last week we were all about Post. Oh, Get, right? We were all doing Get. That's what you showed off
we
in your
examples. We were getting some Get forms and getting all sorts of fun times.
Form, exactly. And so, the examples are really simple. This is the one that I used from last week. So here's my Get example. This is what it looks like. This is what the screen looks like. Brian, if you go ahead and go to that. This is what the code looks
Brian's
like
doggy?
That goes behind it. It's just a simple HTML document that has it uses a table, and then it uses the form, and the method is get. So we're using get, and it gives us the action. So the action upon clicking submit will be to call this particular script. So the script is called animal name. It gives it the prompt of would you like care to name this creature, and then the input name is called name of creature, which is what it will push back out when you do submit.
Okay.
Now remember, one of the reasons why we were showing this off is to show how get works. So if I would care to name this creature, it would have to be dog tor who. And when you click submit, if you watch the URL up here, you see that it does. This. It's going to append it to the file that I told it to call. So I told it to call CGI bin animal name, the script. And then it's going to hand it this additional information. That additional information was defined by the code that I gave it inside that HTML form tag. I told it to have the name of creature be my input, and then I made my input Dr. Dog Tor Who. And so all it does, it says Dog Tor plus Who. And that gets pushed to the script. So now the script has that information, and it can do with it what it needs to.
Now, I know that you're just explaining to us why this changes in the actual line of text at the very top, but we might as well answer it for anybody out there that does question it. Why didn't a web page appear when you clicked submit?
Because that doesn't actually exist.
Exactly.
this is all for demo, right?
Right.
We didn't actually create a live server that we could call because we didn't want people hammering on it right after. It's a really good way to have a server taken down on live TV. Bring up a server URL, people will poke the heck
there
out
you
of
go.
It. We could have done something internal, but this we didn't want that. We're not showing the running of the script. We're showing how you would embed this into an HTML file because we want to be able to pull data from the user and then use that data inside the Perl script. That's what we've been doing this entire module.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, as far as the title goes, it changes every time you put in a different entry. What if I don't want it to show that?
Right. So you can't do that with get. That's one of the things about get. In the last episode, there was a lot of people in the chat room who were saying, well, use post. Post is secure. I said, well, no. Post is not secure, but it's not as insecure as get. There's a lot of things about get that people don't like. For example, it's very character limited. I believe like in Internet Explorer, you're limited to 1,024 characters.
That's it.
Wow. So that would be the actual URL. That's like the file plus all the special control characters plus whatever input you take from the user. That 1024
doesn't give you a lot.
It's not a lot, right? So for example, like if someone were to type like a comment, that could go way over 1,024 characters, and that's all displayed in the URL. That's a really, really insecure way to transmit data, right? And the other thing is you can bookmark a GET. You can cache a GET.
That's true.
And that's not necessarily a good thing. Luckily, we have another option. When we started this last episode, we talked about two different ways to get data back from a user inside of an HTML document. The first one was GET. That's the simple one. The other one is called POST.
Ooh, POST.
POST. And quite simply, POST is just another way to get everything from the status of checkboxes to the entries on data boxes to comment boxes, whatever it's going to be. You can get all that data back, and you can push it to the Perl script just like you did with the GET, but none of it shows up in the URL. And actually, we can show that to you right here. So what I'm going to do is I've got pretty much the same example, but we brought it up in POST. So this looks the same. I changed the text a little bit, of course. And Doctor Who fans will know that. The dog who lies will lie no more when that dog lies at Transalore. And bonus points if you know the name of the episode that this was paraphrased from. So it looks like the other form. There, of course, it's a bit more advanced. Again, we can do this because we have more leeway since it's not limited to just a few characters. It'll say, what is your preferred mode of transportation? Of course, my TARDIS. Preferred modes will be the TARDIS. Tardin. Yes, the Tardin. And who is my companion? And you prefer Amy, so I'm going to say Amy. Now, if this was a GET and I tried to do this, when I click, Geronimo. When I click Geronimo, all that data would show up in the URL at the top.
Right.
But you're going to notice when I click Geronimo, it doesn't. All it's doing is it's calling this
doctor.
Perl script that I told it to call. All of that other data is not contained in the URL. That gets pushed directly to the Perl script.
No way.
Yeah. That's how it works. That's the difference between a GET and a POST. The cool thing about doing it this way is I can, A, send a lot of data.
Yeah.
And, B, it's not impossible to intercept it. I mean, if I was scanning someone's packets, I'd still be able to see the data if it's not encrypted. But at least it's not as obvious as a GET.
So why in the world would I want to use GET when I have the option to use POST instead?
Well, because GET is a lot more simple. GET is easy. Sometimes you do actually want something that's brain dead simple, that's just inside the URL, that's not as complicated as sending a POST. Options. Options are good.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, I don't think I've ever used a GET. I should, but sometimes. But I've almost always used POST.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I would choose POST over GET. But, of course, I haven't seen the code yet, so I'm assuming that it might look a little harder.
Well, no, not really. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. So this was our... Oh, let's go back. Sorry. Let's go back. This was our code. Let's go ahead and view the source here. It actually looks a whole lot the same. So
yeah,
everything in the table looks exactly the same as in our GET code. The only thing that's different is if you look at the form tag itself... I've changed my method to POST.
Method to POST, okay.
And I've changed my method to POST.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh.
Everything else is the same.
That's easy.
Yeah. And so, do this. POST is, as Gray 580, he's saying, POST is more secure. Yes. But I always like to sort of, air
trust
quote
no
that
one.
Thing.
TNO.
Trust no one. It is more secure than GET, but it is not secure.
Right. Nothing is secure.
Nothing is secure, just so you know. We want to build a healthy sense of paranoia into our audience.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, this is the time when we actually have to bring in our code warrior, because what he's going to do is he's going to take POST and he's going to show you how it interfaces with the Perl file.
Yes.
Yes, that's all that's that mystery meat that we were talking about. It's like, wait a minute, if it's not in the URL, where's it going? How does it get
in
to the Perl script? So this is the time where we wanted to introduce to the show. Welcome him back. He's been with us for 6 episodes. This is number 7, Mr. Woo-hoo! Patrick Delahanty, also known as Bunny. Bunny, how are you today?
I'm not going to acknowledge that with an answer.
Now, Patrick, how does this work? So we understand that there are two different ways to get data from the user in an HTML document. There's GET and there's POST. GET is straightforward. It appends it to the URL so that when you call that script, the script will also have that additional piece of data which it can bring into the program, turn it into a string, and then run regular expression on it to its heart's content. But what happens with post? Where's the data coming from if it's not in the URL?
It's magic.
Okay, that's not the answer we were looking for.
Also known as standard input.
Oh, there we go. That's what we wanted. Remember at the beginning of the module, we were playing with standard input, and people were going, why are you doing standard input? There's so... That's why we're doing it, because that's what we're dealing with. That's how Perl will bring it in. It uses standard input just to take that stream from the browser.
It all comes full circle.
Boom.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Do you want to show us some examples of how post works?
Yeah. I've got the same form that I had last week with what is your favorite animal? And, of course, I'm going to type rabbit this time, just to be different. And submit.
To be very different.
And the URL does not, it uses a post. There's no parameters sent in the URL. So it doesn't say animal equals rabbit. And then I've got the script. It's read it in. It says the same response. The only difference between this is it's using a post instead of a get. So if you look at this script, you'll see everything here is the same except I'm reading standard input. And for the length of the input, I put that into the variable input.
Oh, interesting.
And so I just piped that right out. And I said, standard input says input. And then everything else about this is the same. It's doing the exact same script as I had last time. It's all the same as get. All I had to do was read it from a different place.
Yeah, so when we were using get, you had to read the URL. You had to break off that last piece, turn it into a string that could then be used inside the script, inside the program. But if we're using post, it's using a standard input just to receive the stream rather than stripping off the URL, and it can use that within the program.
Yeah, so if we look at my second example here, it's the same second example as I had last time, except this is also using post. Favorite animal... Bunny. What's the animal's name? Baxter.
Oh, Baxter.
And it's the same script. If we look at the code here, I'm doing the same thing. Read standard input. I'm printing out that phrase just so I can see what it says. And up here, you can see it has the input, and it's handled the same way as get. It has the first variable, ampersand, second variable.
Right.
Can you break down that read standard input line for me a little
bit?
Sure. I don't understand why you have the content length at the end.
That tells it it's reading this much content off of the standard input. So it's reading that many characters. If I print out the content length, maybe that'll help understand here. Let me just put that right here. So if I run this again, resubmit. So you can see here, 24. That's how many characters are in the submission.
Cool. Okay.
That's actually a built-in function in Perl. So
yes.
We'll take a string, and it will tell you how long that string is.
Yeah, and there's all these environment variables. I listed some of them in one of the earlier modules. And,
yes.
Now, Patrick, the question, of course, is why would you use get instead of post?
Get is very helpful if you want to be able to give people a page to bookmark. Like, I use it on animecons.com, where I've got it so that if somebody views a list of the conventions in this country, it'll say, like, country equals UK. And that way, Google will index that, or people can bookmark that, and I can provide links directly to that without having to use the form. And so this way, the Perl script can interpret, oh, country is UK, so therefore, just display these, instead of having to make somebody go through the form every time, what country do you want? Huh. I can provide a link that's directly to the country equals UK.
That's awesome.
All right. Now, these first two examples are just you taking the old get examples and putting post on them.
Yes.
And as we saw in the Ivy Tower, they really look the same. Mm-hmm. It's slightly different on how you tag it, and it's slightly different on how you get the information into the actual code. But is that it? I mean, what else can I do with this?
Well, the way I've been doing it, I've kind of been showing you how the fundamentals of how get and post works. But really, that's not how anybody that does Perl programming is going to be doing this, because there are things known as Perl modules, and they're made to make your life easier. And so there's fortunately a Perl module called CGI, which takes all the trouble out of having to interpret the line, parse it out, and split it, and handle all of that. So I can actually show you I've taken the third form from last week, and I've done this using the CGI module. So this is the one where I've got the check boxes with multiple answers. I've got the radio buttons. And you remember last time I had I was looking at the URL, pulling out the value of food,
yes.
And I only got the most recent value, or the latest one. So if I hit hey, because it was last in the list, that's all I got.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right, so this one, I can actually see all the values. So first, let me fill out the form, and I'll show you here. Favorite animal, let's do bunny again. Animal's name, Linus. Give the other one some recognition. He eats vegetables and hay, and he is cute. So we will submit. And you said bunny, named it Linus. Yes, bunnies are the best. It eats veggies and
it
hay,
worked.
And Linus is cute. So it knows I hit both veggies and hay, not just hay. So we'll look at the script for this. And there's up here at the top of the Perl file, I've got this new line. It says, use CGI. And I've got a... There's a... Most Perl installations have this installed by default. It's a CGI module, which makes it so much...
So I don't have to download anything. I could just...
You shouldn't.
...do
yeah.
this on my computer.
Unless, of course, it's on Windows... Then you probably
well,
do.
You might have to. Who knows?
Windows
depends on
okay.
what installation.
I will Google it.
But anyway, we can cover more of this next week. But here's how I'm using the CGI module. I set the variable input, which I'm using to reference that. And then this is all the same. This is all just HTML header. Then down here, I'm actually doing a check just because I should. If the request method is not post, I'm saying, okay, go back to the form and fill this out. This is helpful if somebody comes directly to my script. I'm saying, no, you haven't sent me anything.
Oh, that's cool.
You haven't sent me the post.
Pushes
so,
them back to the form.
Yeah. If I try going directly to this script.
Yeah, what you're saying, so if someone tries to inject code into yeah. your into your
Oops.
Software, they can't.
Okay, I messed up that code because I put it, I should have done this check earlier. Let me fix this right now. This has to go before the content type.
Ah.
I messed that up. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. So there we go. It goes back to the
it
form.
It works.
It still has this in the URL, but it's back at the HTML form.
Oh, that's cool.
So now, back to the code here. I've used this variable input. And so now you have to get down here. Animal equals input. And this little arrow. And param... animal. So that's taking in the CGI, if I view the source, it's taking this animal value and putting that into this string. And it's doing the same for the name value, the name of the animal here. And it's putting that in this variable name.
Right. Now, we did that before, remember? Because we can yeah. call our parameters anything we want.
Right.
In this particular case, he's looking for the parameter that's contained within the name, the value that's contained within the parameter named animal.
Ah, okay.
And so then it's the same script down here. If animal is bunny or rabbit, then do this part here. If it's not, then do this part. And so what I've done here is I've said, if you said animal, named it name, yes, bunnies are the best. Then I've done something a little different here,
eating.
Introducing another new thing. This is calling a subroutine. And because I have got the same thing in both, I didn't want to have to put the code twice. So I'm instead calling this down here.
Boom.
Boom. Sub eating. So this up here with the ampersand eating says go down to here, run this code, and then it goes back to where it left off.
Which we've seen this before. We
yes,
saw
we have.
That in C#. We saw that in Python, making a function, making a method that you can call. So
right.
this is how you would do it if you were scripting, which is, I know I'm gonna need to do this operation over and over and over again. Well, instead of just cutting and pasting the code every
yeah.
time, why not go ahead and make it a subroutine,
That's
and now
cool.
I can call the subroutine.
Yeah, so this isn't really a new concept for coding 101, but this is something new in
but
Perl
But this
here.
Is the concept for Perl.
Yes, this is
That's
how it's
cool.
done in Perl, and it's really that easy. And there's ways to pass variable names and everything. And right now, I'm just kind of get my variables global, but just to make it easy.
We would not do that in the real world, by the way, folks.
Yeah.
Don't do
I'm
that.
Just trying to present easy to understand
code
here.
That's a really good way to get hacked.
And then, okay, so next, after I process what happens, what it eats, then I say, actually, no, I should probably tell you how that works. Somehow this got poorly indented. I think it's when I increase the font size. So yeah, if the parameter food exists, so if parameter food, so that means I've checked something off, there is a value, then present it, print it eats, because there's at least one thing it eats, and then I just do an array with all the parameters from food.
So okay.
This is input, because I checked off vegetables and hay, it's putting vegetables and hay into the array. Then it will...
If we look at your HTML code, where is food? Oh, I see it.
Yep, food is here. And I've got checkbox, food.
So it looks under all four of those since each of them has the same name.
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
And so it says for each food I've checked off, print it. And so it's printing the value that I've sent in the HTML here. Veggies, meat, seeds, or hay.
But only the ones that have received the checkbox.
Yes, only
the ones
that have
checked. Blank. The other ones will be empty. They won't even be sent.
Yeah, right. They're not sent. And so after it processes this, it prints out the list of food. It comes back up here. If cute. And instead of assigning it to a variable, I call it once. So I just did it here. If cute equals yes, print. Of course name is cute. Else, what do you mean name isn't cute? And if I didn't do bunny, it does the same sort of thing. It just prints out different output. And then it closes the HTML and then exit. And it makes it stop.
Wow. You know, that wasn't as complicated as I thought it was going to be.
Once you start breaking it down, you realize you've covered all these things before.
Right.
The code looks crazy, but start looking at it. There's some if then else then statements. Great,
yes.
I know how to do that.
There's some arrays. We know how to do those.
We know how to do that. There's taking data in. There's printing data out. We know how to do that.
Yep.
And now there's subroutines, functions, or methods. We know how to do that. So everything that you're seeing, even though it's slightly different syntax, because if of course. These people have been watching all of Coding 101. If you've watched the previous modules, you see how those ideas are universal. All coding languages are going to have it, be it a scripting language, be it a interpreted language, or being a compiled language. They're always there.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I get so excited when I learn new things like this.
Yeah. That's
cool.
That's the knowledge hole.
Yay, knowledge hole.
All right, Patrick, so tell me, now that we've seen what you've done, I mean, and again, this is a very simplified version, but the people at home are probably saying, okay, so I can make a form that has a couple of checkboxes and a couple of radio boxes. What
you
do
can
I do with
trivia,
this?
You can do trivia, like those trivia websites from 1995.
Exactly.
Who's your favorite Sailor Moon character?
Yeah, you could do that. You could do all sorts of things. You could have a comment form that does something. Does something with the input people have put in, like a whole text box. And post is so much better if you're going to do a big text box because you don't want that in the URL. you could do anything with a form input now. You could get feedback from the users on your website and let them change it so that what you're presenting is different depending on the options they've selected.
Yeah. And something that I think is very important to remember is the examples that we've been using look horrible. I mean, we would never design this for the real world, but we've done that on purpose because we want to make things really, really simple. We don't want to confuse you with a lot of the formatting that you would need to make a good-looking website. But under those good-looking websites, this is what runs. This is how it works. If they're using a Perl scripting language, a Perl server, to be able to dynamically generate their web pages, we've just taught you about 50% of everything you're going to do with Perl. Most of Perl is getting data, modifying it in some way, and pushing it back out. Now you know how to do it.
Now you know.
We want to thank you very much, Patrick, for being our code warrior again.
My pleasure.
Next week is the last episode of this module. I know, folks.
But I'm liking Perl.
Isn't this true? Like every time we finally get to that point where, we're liking the language.
Now I know it.
It's time to move
on.
I
just want to keep going.
Yeah, but what do you got for the folks at home for next week? It's got to be a special episode, right?
I think I'm just going to go crazy and do all sorts of Perl things and just show the potential that is there.
Awesome.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but so I want to give them a little sneak peek. The wildcard episodes between Module 3 and Module 4 are actually going to be security experts. So if you've ever wanted to know a little something about how security experts use code, yeah, you're not going to want to miss that. But Patrick, once again, thank you for being our code warrior. Can you tell everyone where they can find you, where they can find your work?
They can find me at gbproject.com. I've got podcasts I've been doing for like 10 years or something where we destroy toys for no good reason. And you can follow me on Twitter at pdelahanty.
Thank you. Patrick Delahanty, programmer premier here at Twit TV.
Oh, that's a bunny corgi. Yeah. How does that even work?
Why is he eating a...
Well, you said you like bunnies, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on right now.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for today's episode.
I think it does, because that was weird. Now, we know that there was a lot of information that we threw at you. Again, go to our show notes page. We're going to improve it. Actually, we now officially have a plan for improving
post the show notes, Padre.
My fault. I built a really cool automated script to post show notes.
Oh, awesome.
It broke hard. Actually, it may have been what broke my one-in-one page. But you can always find our show notes by going to our show page at twit.tv/coding101. There you'll find all of our episodes. You'll also find a way to automatically download our episodes to your device of choice.
And don't forget, we're also on iTunes. You can go over there and subscribe to the show. Just search for Coding 101 in your iTunes video category for podcasts, and you'll find us. I think we're under audio as well, so definitely check it out, especially if you're commuting and you want something fun to listen to and geek out at.
Yeah.
And tell all your friends to subscribe, too.
Yeah, please do, because we're actually, the show is doing really, really well, but we want to spread the word wide and far. Tell your friends. Tell them, look, this is a 101 show. I mean, yeah, we're going to talk about a couple of things that might make your brain hurt a little bit every once in a while, but it's been designed for people who maybe don't want to be programmers but want to at least understand how code works. This is something that you need in this day and age. And you know what? If you hate iTunes and if you don't want to download it off our page, I guess you could always watch us on Twit. We also have a page. You can find us at youtube.com/twitcoding101. Again, you'll find all of our episodes, and you know, it's just another way to share the love.
Yay! Google Plus community.
Yes,
I know
please.
I mentioned it at the beginning, but that's over at twitcoding101 on Google Plus. Definitely go over there, subscribe, especially if you have any questions that we didn't get to in the chat room. Make sure to go over there and ask our community, because they are very, very useful and very handy with answering questions from anybody, and they won't make you feel dumb. That's one of my favorite parts.
Exactly, yeah. If you're an expert, great, you can help some of the newbies. If you're a newbie, jump in there and ask the stupid question. You know that question that you don't want to ask because you think everyone's going to laugh at you? Like, hey, what is standard input? Go ahead and ask it. I guarantee you that they're going to be kind, because if they're not kind,
I will punch them in the face.
She will punch him in the face. Yeah. Also, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/PadreSJ. Please follow me at PadreSJ. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm at Snubs.
Did I break your
follow
flow?
Follow me, not him.
Aw.
I'm just kidding.
Follow us both. Snubs, PadreSJ. And don't forget, we have this show live every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can watch us at live.twit.tv. You get to watch the pre-show, the post-show, all the bloopers, all the stuff that gets cut out of the final. Because every once in a while, we do have a technical difficulty. And we always try to make it, because it's Brian. We always try to make it entertaining. Exactly like that. That was one big technical difficulty. And as long as you're watching us live, why not jump into our chat room at irc.twit.tv? We do pull questions straight out of the chat room. We listen to you. We read your comments as the show goes on. It's a great way to be part of the experiment. It's really an experiment that is Twit TV.
We're so experimental.
Yeah, we are experimental. I think that's it for this episode. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballas here.
I'm Shannon Morse. End of line.